Welcome to part 3 of Under a Green Sky.
Stood where I parked my old worn-out car, taking your time, but I don't mind. It's a long way to go, but the days pass so slow, and the distance seems to know your own name. Seems to know your own name. And I know just where that'll leave me. Stepped into the road with your suitcase in tow. Be a long time till you'll see this place again. Your hair shone so red I could barely look ahead. Up into the road where I'll be traveling. Where I'll be traveling. And I know I just haven't the time to waste. Oh, I know I just haven't the time, oh, to waste. Silver jet sent across the sea sends my love away from me. Won't you carry me safe to her new home? And it's a silver jet sent across the sea sends my love away from me. Won't you carry me safe to her new home? Kick up those heels, keep those eyes peeled. I need you back before I knew you were gone. Before I knew you were gone.
The montage was intriguing. I recognise most of the pictures as photos I'd taken over the preceding 10 years or so. Some had been published, some hadn't, and I suspected that they had been sourced from the desktop computer which had been stolen from our house some months previous. The backup securities I kept ensured I hadn't really lost anything, but it had still been annoying. The jiffy bag contained a CD-ROM and a piece of thick parchment-like paper. On it was a note from Mel, which read, "Sanchez, if you are reading this, then something has happened to me. Keep this, the other document you should have been given, and the CD-ROM safe. Don't try and copy them. They have built-in security measures. Don't do anything with them unless you are contacted further. Please leave Terry out of this. He has had enough to put up with." It was signed Mel. Looking at the paper more closely, I could see a shaded pattern and realised it was a data glyph, a way in which information can be encrypted onto paper, which had been developed by Xerox. I suspected that the paper had a photocopy resistant coating as well, which would render the glyph unreadable if I tried to make a copy. So I put the jiffy bag in a safe place and tried to go back to my quiet lifestyle. So it was well over a year later, the week following the failure of the Copenhagen climate change talks to come up with a legally binding commitment, that another of the guy puddlers got in touch. After college, Dev had started up a jewellery business, much to our surprise, rather than going for a career in computing. But this had become very successful, thanks to his hard work and all of his contacts. Then he dropped out of sight. We all thought he'd just moved up to the smoke, but it turned out to be something quite different. His knock on the door late one Friday evening caused us all to jump a bit. In his typically polite way, he apologised for disturbing us, but could he talk to me? It was great to see him again, and after getting a couple of bottles of Old Peculiar, we made our way into my small office. "I'm here about Mel and the other guy puddlers," he said. "When I was running the jewellery business, I was approached by someone from the security services, and I've been working for them ever since. I was the one who suggested to Pete that he got Mel onto the Green Sky project. And I also set up the structure for the coded documentation, which is what the jiffy bag Terry gave you is all about. Mel shouldn't have been killed. It was another department getting carried away. They won't be causing us any more trouble. We've had some strong words with them." "So what was the Green Sky project?" I asked. "Okay," said Dev. "It started off when Pete approached the government with an idea that algae could be used to make a liquid fuel to replace oil. It was a side effect of the research he'd done at Oxford. He got funding, and the project got transferred to Porton Down. I was assigned to the team as security liaison, and I got Mel on board as well. Initially, the work was going well, but then a new government minister took over and withdrew the funding. However, we had heard that the Swiss government was interested, and they provided the money. But the whole project became very enmeshed with security issues. As a safeguard, we had already put together what we thought was a safety net, based on the knowledge of the guy puddlers. Unfortunately, it didn't stop one of the other government departments getting the wrong idea, and Mel paid the price. With the failure of the Copenhagen talks, the safety net has swung into place, and so it's time for the puddlers to get back together. Pete's over in Switzerland with the remainder of the project team, and we can't get to him. So it's down to us to decode the Green Sky project files and find out what's been going on."
Sitting pretty in his walled estate, a thousand beggars shuffle weary in the dirt. Cardboard box, Camelot, we shake our heads and say that's not the way things ought to be. The way things ought to be. We speak the lines and play the part, raise a glass to soothe the heart. Tomorrow morning we'll make a start on the way things ought to be. All kinds and schemes to put the world to rights. All kinds of profits to fulfill your every dream. Some talk of hope and some of fear, each one with his own idea of the way things ought to be. The way things ought to be. We speak the lines and play the part. Raise a glass to soothe the heart. Tomorrow morning we'll make a start on the way things ought to be. And we should make a pretty pair. We should be lovers plain for all the world to see. Had you not, and had I just, ifs and buts as dry as dust. And the way things ought to be, the way things ought to be. We speak the lines and play the part. Raise a glass to soothe the heart. Tomorrow morning we'll make a start on the way things ought to be. The way things ought to be. The way things ought to be.